We're living in a very, very, very evil time. But God wants us to shine in the evil time. Stand with me, Ephesians chapter 6. We'll read this and then we'll allow you to sit and we'll pray and then turn over to the book of Acts for the message today. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus in verse number 12, said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Most of the time when we think about this text, we're thinking about the whole armor of God, and there's nothing wrong with that. But God has pulled that off the page about standing in the evil day and put that in my heart. You can be seated. Pray with us, please, and pray for us. Father, thank you this morning for my precious people. Thank you for everyone, Lord, that's here today. Thank you for these first-time visitors, Lord. I pray, Lord, that they would receive a blessing, Father, as they hear the word of God. And Lord, I pray that every need would be met. Lord, we know you're the great need meter. As our brother Jason said a while ago, Lord, I don't know what folk need, but I know the one who knows what each one of us needs this morning. I pray you'd minister to our hearts, minister to our lives. Thank you for the friends in the family of God that you've blessed us with these years. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Turn back over, if you will, to the book of Acts, chapter number 2. Last Sunday morning, the message was titled, "Standing by the Cross in the Evil Day." And then on Sunday night, we stood on top of the hill with Moses and Aaron and Hur in the evil day. And then Wednesday night, we stood with Abraham's servant, Eliezer, by the well in the evil day. Those are three very important places for God's people to stand in the evil day, if we're going to stand. And today, it's kind of a little bit different. It's not about a place, but it's about a perspective and a position in our life. We're going to go with Peter in the book of Acts, chapter number 2. On the day of Pentecost, Peter is chosen to stand on the day of Pentecost and deliver the message of God. And on that day, 3,000 souls are going to be saved by the grace of God. It's a wonderful day. It'll never be another day just exactly like it. But that's the day, beloved, that God birthed, in Peter's heart, the great truths and message that he shared with the people that stood before him. The Bible said in Acts chapter 2, this is where the message come from. Look at verse 14. "But Peter, standing up with the 11, he lifted up his voice, and he said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words." The message today will be entitled, "Standing for What's Right in the Evil Day." Standing for what's right. Lots of times, I'm guilty myself as a pastor of pointing out the negatives in the evil day. But this morning, just a few of the things that came into my heart. We would stand for life and stand for the unborn. That's standing for what's right in the evil day. We would stand for marriage. It's a man and a woman. That's standing for what's right in the evil day. We would stand that God created us male and female. That's standing for what's right in the evil day. God didn't make a mistake. He never has made a mistake. We would stand for our country and our flag in the evil day. We were in the cemetery not too long ago over in Johnson City. Those men fought. Many of them didn't come back alive for that flag. And honest to God, If somebody wanted to spit on that flag, I'd try to get between them and the spit. Amen. I'd rather spit on me than spit on that flag. If somebody wanted to burn that flag, they're going to have to come through me to burn it or to stomp on it. I'm glad I'm preaching to a bunch of people that believe, beloved, want to stand for the flag and kneel at the cross. Say amen. Not kneel when our national anthem is being sung. I'm glad we can stand for Christ and we can stand for his word. The scripture said in Ephesians, having your loins girt about with truth. What Peter is about to share with the group of people that's standing in front of him is the truth of God's word. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And I'll say this, when God calls a man, he doesn't call a man to enter into philosophy or his own thinking. He calls a man to preach the word, to be instant in season and out of season, to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And so God has called upon Peter to preach the word of God this day, standing for what's right. Let me get started in the message. I have a couple of things here I want to share with you this morning, and we'll get out of the way. I'm already looking forward to tonight's message, though it's not fully developed. I told my wife, I'm a little bit different. Some men get to study weeks ahead of time. And I tell you, it don't work that way for me. Amen. I get a thought on and I mull it over and I meditate on it. But I don't mind to sit down just an hour or two before the service and let God finalize in my heart and in my mind what he wants me to say. And the Lord did that for me last night. First of all, tonight, standing in the evil day, Peter is standing with the right motive. You might say, well, Pastor, what's that got to do with any? I think it has everything to do. Beloved, some men are in the ministry as a profession. They're in the ministry as a job. You know what I mean? But I tell you, Peter's in the ministry because he's in love with the Savior of the world. He's in love with Jesus. Amen. You say, Pastor, why would that come out about the motive? Well, if you'll remember, beloved, the Bible said there in Mark 16, verse 6 and 7, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb. He said, go tell my disciples. And then he said this, and Peter. You say, Pastor, where are you going with this? Well, if you'll read John chapter number 21, beloved, Jesus, Peter had went fishing, caught nothing. Jesus, they come in that morning. He said, cast your net on the other side. Now they can't, was it 153, Miss Eve? We just went over last Sunday in Sunday school. 153 fishes, you can't hardly draw the net because of the multitude of fishes. God filled it up. And then he said he already had fish baked and he already had the bread baked on. But he said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Peter's the one that denied him. Peter's the one that cursed. Peter's the one that walked afar off. But I'm telling you on this day, Peter has experienced the forgiveness of God. And he's going to stand up and preach with a heart full of love for the gospel of the Lord Jesus and for the Lord Jesus himself. Amen. It's not just something to do. Beloved, he's doing it because he loves the Lord. Beloved, listen, he said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Lovest thou me more than these? I believe Peter is standing with the right motive. He had gone out and he had wept bitterly. But now, beloved, the word of God said in verse number 14, but Peter, hallelujah, look at him now. I've said this and I wear it out sometimes, but it keeps coming back to my mind. Had I been choosing a man, I would have chosen John. I would have chosen the one that laid his head on Jesus' bosom there at the supper. I'd have chosen the one that went all the way to the cross with him. But I believe God, he knew there'd be a lot more of us in this world like Peter than like John, that had been afar off, that had been, beloved, in that position where we denied him. Amen. But he wanted us to know there's hope and there's forgiveness with the Lamb of God. Amen. That takes away the sin of the world. So we see Peter is standing with the right motive. How I missed this all these years, I don't know. But the second thing in the message, he's standing with the right men. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Look what the Bible said in verse number 14. But Peter standing up, what's the next words? With the 11. Boy, I tell you what. Oh, listen to me. I don't know, but I believe Peter's looking up that day. God has filled him with the Holy Ghost. Beloved, listen, you can read your Bible. Don't you get mixed up in this tongues business. Amen. They were speaking languages where people could hear the gospel in their own language. Amen. And beloved, some of them really liked what they were hearing and were amazed. But in verse number 13, some of them were mocking Peter. But I tell you what, I believe it was a shot in Peter's arm and in his heart to look on that side and see men that were standing with him, and look on that side and see men that were standing with him, and to know, beloved, he's standing there preaching the truth, and he's not alone, not only because he has the Savior on the inside of him, but God has given him some men to stand with him in this world. That's a blessing, amen. It's a blessing to pastor a church when you know there's men that's got you back, amen. Men, beloved, that'll stand for what's right, because it's right according to the scripture, and they'll stand with God's men. I say this, I've said it before, but I believe one of the reasons God has so blessed our church is we have a reputation of being good to God's men. Missionaries, evangelists, amen, pastors, many of them been between churches and just come through and been loved on and healed up and went on and done something for God, amen. What a blessing that is. I used to preach in the prisons those 10 years before I came here, and I told a fellow last week, he was a bodybuilder, it was evident. His arms were about as big around as my thigh, and they were defined really well. He had a nice chest that was defined really well. Looked like he didn't have a neck. You've seen him, ain't you? Looked like his head was planted on his shoulders, and there was no neck in between. Amen. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Jason? I told him I'd get those fellas in the prison. I'd get them off to the side before the meeting ever started. I'd squeeze their arm just a little bit. And I said, now listen, we're going to have a revival or a riot or something. I said, if it gets on, you'd be on my side, will you? And without fail, this is what they'd say. I got you, Rev. Amen. I got you, Rev. You know what I believe, Brother Larry? I believe them men standing alongside of Peter saying, Peter, we got you, buddy. Amen. Just preach it like it is, buddy. We're going to stand right here with you, buddy. We ain't going nowhere. We love the same Jesus you love. We love the same gospel that you love. What a blessing that is. I love that old song. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood, joint heirs with Jesus. As we travel this sod, I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God. Amen. Standing in the evil day. Oh, beloved friend, he's standing with the right motive. That's how I want to stand. I'm standing with the right men. That's how I want to stand. Jesus, he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I'm going to tell you something right now. You can say whatever you want to. There's 11 men there standing with Peter, and I believe they're as together can be. You say, why? Because the Spirit of the living God has filled every one of them's heart, every one of them's life. And beloved, they're not doing what they're doing for themselves. They're doing it for their Savior. If we're going to stand in the evil day, God's looking for some men and women that will stand for what's right. You remember what I said early on in the message. It's an evil day. Our heart's under attack. Our homes are under attack. The house of God is under attack. One of the things that I talked to Brother Don, Sister Linda over and over, and I know he shared it with you.
one of the things that blessed him was there was no strife and no division at the church here. He loved the church, amen. And that blessed him because he knows a lot about what's going on in churches around, and this problem and that problem, this problem and that problem. And I'm telling you, beloved, I'm not saying we're above having problems, but I'm saying it's a blessing when God's people come together in one mind and one accord, amen, like Peter and like these 11 did on that day, standing in the evil day, standing with the right motive, standing with the right men. But then I want to give you this, and this is the thrust of the message. He's standing with the right message. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? It wasn't something he cooked up. He's preaching the gospel. First of all, beloved, there's three things I want to give you here and we'll be done. It was a message of redemption because it was a gospel message. You see, Paul said over the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, he said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sin according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. Is it any wonder, beloved, that this message that Peter's going to preach, I'm telling you, it's a gospel message. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Let me show it to you real quickly. Look at verse number 22. He said, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as yourselves also know. Him, watch this, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. You say, Pastor, what's that mean right there? That means it's already determined. When Jesus was born, it was already determined that he was going to the cross, that the Lamb of God was going to give his life. I'm going to tell you, it was determined before he was born. As a matter of fact, if you'll study your Bible, it was determined before the foundation of the world. The Word of God said he was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. In the foreknowledge of God, beloved, God didn't look at Adam and Eve in the garden and say, oops, what are we going to do now? He didn't look at Calvary and say, oh my, oh no, God knew and Jesus knew. He said, for this cause came I into the world. You see the death of the Lord Jesus in these verses. But then if you'll look with me please at verse number 25. The Bible said, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand. I love Peter's way here, Brother Jason. Peter's going to take them back to a scripture they're familiar with. He's going to take them back to the book of Psalms. He's going to take them back to King David. And let me say something about talking to people. First, before we start talking, it'd be good to listen and find out where they are. Amen. You can start with some people, beloved, in Romans, but some people you need to start with them in Genesis. Amen. You might need to start with them in John, but just listen. Find out where they are, amen, and speaking to them. Be a good listener. Let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. And by the way, that's all some people need in the world. It's just somebody that would care enough to take a few minutes and listen, amen, to what's going on in their life. But here, he starts with them on familiar ground. For David speaketh concerning him. He said, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he's on my right hand that I should not be moved. Remember the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. See, they might have thought that was talking about David. But he wasn't talking about David. Watch what the Bible said. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that out of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he should raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. You see him, beloved, dead, killed. He died for our sin according to the scripture. You see him buried. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Speaking about that grave. And then you see him raised again the third day. He's seeing this before, spake of his resurrection, the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we're all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. I'm telling you, beloved, it was a message of redemption. It was a gospel message. And that's the message that's needed today. Average person in Bloomingdale, here's how they think. If you go to church, you're going to heaven. If you give a tip in the offering, you'll get a reward. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. Listen to me. Going to church won't make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage would make you an automobile. Jesus told a very religious man, his name was Nicodemus, ye must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. The body is to be present with the Lord. I'm telling you, beloved, it's the right message. He's standing with the right motive. He's standing with the right men. He's standing with the right message. Secondly, in this last thing here, not only is it the message of redemption, it's a gospel message, but it's a message of repentance. It's God's message. You say, Pastor, why did you say that? Because who ever in this world thought that Baptists, I'm talking about Baptists, would be arguing over whether repentance is necessary for salvation? You know, I'm not real smart. If you've known me very long, you know that. But I'm smart enough to know this. If my Lord, his name's Jesus, says to me, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That's good enough, Lord. I don't need any explanation. If I'm going to heaven, I'm going to have to turn from my sin and turn to the Savior. Amen. And I'm going to say this, you can't do one without the other. You can't turn to the Savior without turning from your sin, and you can't turn from your sin without turning to the Savior. I'm telling you, beloved, it's not repentance or faith, it's repentance and faith. Amen. In the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a message of repentance. You say, Pastor, where is that? Look at verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart. I want to ask you a question this morning. You remember when you were pricked in your heart? Amen. Honey, I don't care if you're 6 or 60. If you've ever been pricked in your heart, you'll never forget it. Let me say it again. I don't care if you're 6 or 60. If you've ever been pricked in your heart, you'll never forget it. Never. When God pricks a man, pricks a woman, pricks a boy, pricks a girl in his heart, in their heart, then, beloved, you see, I'm not going to fuss right here. Salvation involves a decision, but it's so much more than a decision. My wife asked me this morning if I wanted gravy and eggs and bacon. And I said, I believe I do. So that sounds good to me. Now you know the rest of the story. Now you know why I don't look like that beanpole sitting right there. Amen. God help him. Or that ain't sitting over there either. Amen. And then my wife said this. She said, or I could fix you some steak and eggs. She said, I had that steak left over from yesterday. It was her steak, Brother Michael. It was her birthday. So what did I say? I said, no, honey, no. I said, you saved the steak for after church. See, we're doing leftovers after church. Amen. They'll be good. There's even part of one of them blooming onions, and I'm not cussing. It's a blooming onion. We're going to warm that stuff up and eat it. And I said, no, honey, no, no, no. She said, I know you love steak and eggs. I said, yeah, but I want the gravy. You know what I really wanted the whole time, don't you, Brother Jason? I wanted the steak and eggs. Guess what I ate, Sister Jennifer? She turned her back. She said, I'm going to fix you some steak and eggs. She took that decision right out of my hands. You know what I did? I prayed over and I ate it. And I enjoyed it. And I thank God that I married a woman that thinks more of others than she does herself. Salvation involves a decision. A decision about breakfast or a decision about dinner, that's one thing. Salvation, beloved. Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. I'm glad for something in the Bible called those cords of compassion. There's an unseen line that goes between here and heaven. He's called the Spirit of the living God. And he can prick that heart. And not just prick, but draw. Little boy, years ago, standing on a street corner with a stick and a string. Fellow walked up and said, what are you doing, son? He said, I'm flying a kite, mister. He said, son, I don't see no kite. It was overcast. The clouds were hanging low. Windy. He said, son, I don't see a kite. That little boy just kept standing there. He said, I don't either, mister. He said, then how do you know it's up there? He said, because I still feel the tug. Happy day in my life. I went to church one Sunday night, minded my own business, and God butted into my business and pricked my heart and let me know the church membership wasn't going to get it done, that I needed a Savior.
Amen.
He didn't just quit right there. He said, come here, boy. I love you. I'm going to tell you something right now. What was it Brother Mitchell said, Brother John? He said, you got to take sides with God against yourself. I said, Lord, you're right. I'm so sick of trying to be something I'm not. And I repented. What do you mean, Pastor? I said, God, you're right. And all these 27 years, I've been wrong. And tonight, I want the one that's right to make me right in the sight of God. You know what he did? He made me right. Before I met Jesus, I was all wrong. Now, don't you go out of here and tell anybody I'm perfect. But I want you to know a part of me is. There's an inner man, brother. He made that inner man all right. That inner man was all wrong. And God made him all right. You say, how can you say that? Because he robed me in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You ever been pricked in your heart? He's standing with the right message. It's a message of redemption. It's a gospel message. It's a message of repentance. It's God's message. Verse 37 said, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? If they was from East Tennessee, they'd have said, what do we do now? What do we do now? We've heard this message. There's something going on in our heart. What do we do now? Look at the next verse. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Boys, it's time for y'all to admit you got it wrong. He is the Lord. He is the Savior. He did die. He was buried. He did raise again the third day. It's time to admit it, boys. You got it wrong. And it's time to trust Him. Repent and be baptized. Oh, some have taken this verse of Scripture and made a whole doctrine out of it. I'm going to tell you something right now. Let me just go ahead and say this. If you've ever been pricked in your heart and you've ever repented of your sin and Jesus Christ come into your heart and life, you'll not have any trouble being baptized. You won't have any trouble saying to the world, hey world, I'm not ashamed of Him. Watch this. I'm going to be buried with Him in the likeness of His death. I want to be raised in the likeness of His resurrection to walk in the newness of life.
Amen.
Why in the world would anybody want to get saved and walk the way they always walked and talk the way they always talked and go to the places they always went to and watch what they always watched? Repentance is turning from that mess and turn it to the Savior. It's a message of repentance. But watch this, and I'm done. Finished. Sorry, Missy. She's trying to teach me the English language. If you're done, that's something you do in an oven. Well, I kind of feel like I'm in an oven. But I'll be finished in just a moment. It's a message of reconciliation. I want to show you this, beloved. We're talking about standing in the evil day. And this morning, there's a man of God. His name's Peter. He's standing for what's right. Brother Larry, I'm just time out right here just a minute. We're going to get into those verses about the children and the reconciliation that's going to take place. You think Peter might have looked at those 11 and said, boys, are you believing this? Boys, I tell you, I'm having a hard time believing that the likes of him could use somebody like the likes of me. There's 3,000 of them, boys. Are you believing this? Watch this message of reconciliation. It's a gracious message. Watch it. The Bible said here in chapter number 2, look at verse 39. For the promise is unto you. I love this. And to your children. Ain't that good? Ain't it good, Mama and Papa, to know that the message wasn't just for us. It's for our children. It's for our grandchildren. It's a message of reconciliation. God, they were far off. They're way over yonder. And God said, hey, I got one in the middle that died on the cross that can take people that's way over yonder and bring them right over here where God is. Now He can walk with them. He can talk with them. He can fellowship with them. The Bible said here, it's to your children, to all them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did He testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. I didn't even see that, Brother Jason, till just now. What we're talking about? Standing in the evil day. Peter said, we're living right in the middle of a generation that's evil too. That's what that untoward's talking about. Going her own way, doing her own thing. Standing at the cross saying he saved others. Himself he cannot save. Crucify him! Crucify him! Give us Barabbas! Wicked. Spitting on him, Brother Mike. Pulling his beard out. Pulling thorns down in his brow. beating him to a pulp, nailing him to a cross. And Peter said, save yourself from this untoward generation. It's a message of reconciliation. You come on down there, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, the breaking of bread and in prayers. I'm not going to read the rest of it. I'm going to quit. But let me, I believe, Brother Dale, it ain't just Peter saying to the 11, boys, ain't this good? Boy, it's good to serve the Lord, ain't it? Boys, ain't you glad? Ain't you glad he got a hold of us? Ain't you glad he changed our lives? I want you to look what he's doing for that family. Look what he's doing for that family. I sat there on that bench this morning and looked at smiles and looked at faces as the song was being sung. I know my name is there. And brother, 10 years ago, they couldn't have said that. But I've had the privilege to watch many of them come to that place of repentance. And now they know they've been born again. Not a hope so, think so, maybe so. Now I've talked about the platform where Peter is. I believe if you go down in the crowd, there's tears. People are saying, ain't this good? Boy, I've been forgiven. What about you? Oh yeah, I've been forgiven too. Ain't this good? Ain't this good? Ain't it good to be forgiven? Ain't it good to know that when Jesus comes now, we're ready to meet him, standing in the evil day. I can't do it alone, Brother David, but with God's help, when Jesus comes, whether I go, as Brother Herman Anderson said, by way of the clods or by way of the clouds, I want him to find me standing for what's right.
Amen.
Standing for what's right. I believe Peter has a heart full of love for the Savior. I believe his motive is right. I believe the crowd, the men he was hanging around with, was right. How many believes his message was right?
Amen.
A message of redemption, a message of repentance, and a message, beloved, a message of reconciliation. What a God we serve this morning.
Amen.
Do you know him? Do you know him? I watched a video years ago, and I can't remember the preacher's name. I mean no disrespect, but he was a black preacher. Who was it? Somebody said?
S.M. Lockridge.
There's initials to start with, ain't there, brother? What are the initials?
S.M.
Okay, I thought it was E.M., but that's Bounds, ain't it? They wrote on prayer, a lot on S.M. Lockridge. You ought to look it up. Because he gets, and I like what old brother, Brother Jones said. Well, he was here, Brother Jim James Jones was here and preached for us several years ago. He said this in a Rock of Ages conference. You might not like what I'm going to say, but he said it anyway. He said, ain't nobody can say it like a black man.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what that preacher was preaching, buddy.
Amen.
And everything he'd say, I wonder, do you know him?
Amen.
He'd say, I wonder, do you know him? Amen. He'd brag on Jesus and say, I wonder, do you know him?
Amen.
Of course, if you know him, you rejoice through the whole thing. You rejoice. Don't matter what color a man is, if he's telling you the truth, you rejoice. Do you know him?
Amen.
Do you know him? You ever been pricked in your heart? You ever repented? Say, what difference does it make? Well, I'm just a country boy. Let me make it as simple as I can. Heaven or hell. That's what difference it makes. Heaven or hell. I don't care what some religions say. Ain't no place in between. When you leave this world, it's heaven or it's hell. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you in Jesus' name for a place called heaven. Thank you for going to the cross and purchasing our eternal redemption. Lord, I'm glad we've been able to study a little bit about a man that had the right motive. He was standing with the right men. And dear God, he delivered the right message. Thank you, Lord, for the gospel. Lord, I thank you that you're still calling men to preach the gospel. Lord, as Brother Jason read the card from Coulter a while ago, God, how gracious you've been to our church to take a man of that caliber and put him in the ministry, representing our church in that prison in Alaska, representing his Lord. God, I pray today, someone here don't know you. God, prick them in your heart. Draw them, Lord, with cords of compassion. Help them to move while you speak into their heart. Let's stand together this morning. Some are already in the altar praying.